Hi there, I'm Cody Henry, and I'm one half of Sophisticated Babies.
I'm Adam Hookie, and I am the other half of Sophisticated Babies.
The good half.
You're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Woo!
Rock Paper Podcast! Rock Paper Podcast! Rock Paper Podcast, y'all!
Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast. I wanted to say Record Store Day is coming up the 18th, and we were me and Chris were invited to be guest DJs at Vintage Vinyl for Record Store Day at 2:30. So you can come out and listen to some tunes with us and pick up some records and listen to some great local music and all this fun stuff. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram if you'd like. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. And I want to say thank you. Today we hit 500 likes on our Facebook page, so that was very exciting. But anyway, episode 60, I'm sitting here in beautiful St. Louis, Missouri, with Adam and Cody, better known as the Sophisticated Babies. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you for having us here.
Yes, thank you.
We're in the middle of doing a puzzle.
We just started that puzzle.
Yeah, just started. So, welcome to the show, guys. Where does a name like Sophisticated Babies come from?
This
Cody came up with it.
Yes.
We were trying to think of a name for, you know, a day or so. And then I was at some kind of wedding gig I didn't enjoy. And I get this text from him, and I think I just laughed a lot. Go, so you tell the rest of it.
I went to, like, bandnamegenerator.com. and I typed in something, and then all of a sudden I saw Sophisticated at one point, and then I kept Sophisticated, and then all of a sudden Baby showed up. I'm like, that's it right there. Sophisticated Baby.
Yeah.
So, takes it to Adam, and yeah, and what he said, so.
Yeah. I didn't know, or you told me that. I forgot about that.
Yes.
So yeah, we thought of it all, totally originally. He just came to him one day. It had nothing to do with bandgenerator.com.
Not yet. Yeah. I mean, yes.
Yeah, and then you guys got that on your Facebook, the little like baby with a monocle and mustache.
Google images search for sophisticated babies, and that's what comes up.
Yeah.
So.
So you guys have quickly become St. Louis's premier ukulele and tuba duo.
Yeah,
we're thrilled to be at the top already.
Yeah. But for me, like, I've seen you guys live down there at Oyster Bar, and for just having the ukulele and tuba. You guys are really good at creating a lot of sound that to replicate those songs that you're doing. So,
thank you.
It's quite an accomplishment for, you know, like I said, to replicate several instruments with just the two.
It's a definitely a bare bones situation. You get tuba with the bass with the tuba, but then you also every now and then we plug in like a guitar solo line with the tuba or and then obviously we have the ukulele that's providing the chords and everything,
yeah.
and just the basic things you need, you know.
Right.
Don't have as much of the drums, but we try to get that rhythm coming from the ukulele as well and everything.
Yeah.
So, but it's very simple, but it works out great, and it's great to have a partner that you enjoy working with, and that helps. So,
right.
Yes.
If we add somebody else to the group, we'd probably just complicate things.
They might not like puzzles as much as us.
No. Yeah. That's right.
I think I was talking to Bruiser Queen a while back, and they told us about how like they started as like a four piece, and then it kind of got to the point where, it was just difficult to get everybody together and all, and then they cut down to just the two. And. And then it's like Jason was saying, like, you know, he'll just text Morgan, like, hey, you ready for practice? And I go, all right, yeah. So it's like...
Yeah, it's a lot easier to coordinate.
Right, yeah. With just the two, it's keeps it simple.
We get to make all the decisions, and, you know, we still might have to compromise on something, but it's nice not have to worry about so many, opinions or people's, you know, making sure you respect everybody in the band. It's a big deal, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so it's easy when there's just one other person.
Yeah.
There's only about 20% of the tunes that we choose that only one of us brought to the table, you know, where it's like, the other one's like, I'm not sure if that's going to work or not, but let's give it we're always open to giving that a shot.
Right.
Yeah, I'll try anything.
Yeah, we'll try anything. And
even if it's like one of those, you know, some one-hit wonder from the past that he loved and I hated, it's like I'll still try it.
Yeah.
You know, even if I don't agree with it, it's like, it's my, you know, it's my job. And likewise, of course, Cody has a hard time saying no.
That's what I was going to ask. You guys got a pretty crazy set list that you guys play.
That's probably one of our strengths.
Yeah.
Our biggest strengths is the song selection.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you start playing something and you see people in the crowd react, they're like, oh, they're playing this one.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then, of course, it's a little bit of a novelty to be the instrumentation that we are.
Sure.
Of course, but, like...
you can't really avoid that.
You can't avoid that, but we're not super duper trying to be funny every single time we play something. We just try to find something like, if somebody walked into the bar and heard the band start playing with, you know, we want to play something that like, oh yeah, I love this song, you
right.
know, stuff like that. Try to make it a...
All right, we got a perimeter.
Yeah.
almost got the border.
So we're doing a quick little puzzle right now, which is just like 100 pieces most likely. And I get most of my puzzles at Goodwill at this like, this isn't even an end piece. They tricked us. I buy them at Goodwill, at this Goodwill outlet where everything's like 79 cents a pound. And Cody has, if anything, a deeper love of puzzles than I do, but we both love puzzles quite a bit. And so this was like a mystery bag. Sometimes they're just in plastic bags. We don't know what it's going to be yet, but some kind of lizard maybe coming out of a painting, right?
There's a tail.
It's probably a dragon.
Okay.
What's that, like, what's that, M.C. Escher or whatever those...
Like the fish turning into birds or... Yeah. Anyway.
I cut together, recorded some video of you guys down there, and I cut it together, and I made like a little promo video that's up on my YouTube channel.
Thank you so much for that. That's awesome.
Yeah, by the way. I mean, it was really nothing. It was more or less just something fun for me to do. But I had some fun taking some liberties with it, putting the. So sophisticated. that was pretty good. I loved that you guys, in that promo video, I got you guys doing, ELO telephone line.
Yes.
And then you guys closed that night with, green jelly, Three Little Pigs.
Yes.
And like,
actually, there'll always be green jello in my heart.
Green jello.
I was like, wait a second, I might need to go on my phone and make sure that's what they're... Yeah, it is green jello. It is a green jello.
No, it was green jello, and then they changed their name. They got sued by Jello.
That's right, because then they had that song, Green Jello Sucks. It was on that same album. You remember that?
Well, that was already on that album.
Ah, I see.
I think you're connecting the wrong things.
I think I am.
Yeah. All it was there was a band called Green Jello, and they did a little pig song, and then when they got popular, they got sued, and they had to change their name.
Huh.
I got a cassette single of Three Little Pigs with still Green Jello.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we should have like one of those, The More You Know.
Yes.
For sure.
The other cool thing about that band, and I hope I'm remembering this correctly without having to go to a phone or anything like that, but there was a game on the Super Nintendo called Maximum Carnage. It was a Spider-Man game, and and the music was done by Green Jelly. So yeah. It was just like this really kicking soundtrack, and it was an awful game, but like, but the music was like, oh yeah,
yeah,
it was worth the rental right there.
Yeah, that was such a fun, like, because it totally caught me off guard, but it was so much fun to watch you guys do that.
We did. Cool. We kind of. Somewhat talked through it during rehearsal, but I don't think we ever actually put it together. And then finally, like, you know what we should do? We should do that song.
Right.
And
you know what we need right now? The perfect song. And there it was. It was perfect.
So I don't know. I forgot what it was going to. So what do you guys enjoy to challenge each other, like you said, you know, you guys will text each other stuff, but is like is it something like, is there anything like off limits with this, or is there or any of that?
There's things we've decided not to do after, like, maybe it was a song that I really wanted to do, and we tried it and we're like, you know what, that's not a good fit or whatever,
right?
So there's been a couple of those. I don't even remember what they are right now.
I
can think of a couple of those. A lot of our band meetings are on our text messaging back and forth, and it's just usually Spoon Man ? Yes, I like that song. Or just, you know, like, we should do more ELO, or we should do more, you know, we should learn a couple more They Might Be Giants songs.
Sure.
You know, stuff like that. That's usually what the equivalent of our band meeting is, just opening the text and choosing songs that way, and just kind of trying to put feelers out for the reaction of the other half of the band. And,
right.
You know?
The other half of the band.
Truth. Truth. He speaks the truth of
this.
Do you guys, so now, like, you guys just played, what, a week ago?
Last Thursday.
Last Thursday.
With Al Holiday?
Oh, that was, we picked up a quick one after that, too. But, yeah, we played a couple weeks ago with Al Holiday.
Yeah.
On a Saturday.
That was awesome. Good time.
Yeah, I mean, I was bummed I missed that one. But Like, so when you do, do you guys try to put new set lists for every show, or is this like a...
So far, we're trying to learn new songs for every show.
Because I kind of like, the first one I saw you guys, you did like a, kind of like a 70s kind of block, and then some 90s block of songs, and I was wondering if you guys kept that theme kind of going, like...
I don't know if that was planned or not, exactly, but it probably just ended up like that, but the first show... we were kind of scrambling since November to like, okay, this is the end of January. This is our goal. Yeah. We need to get 3 hours of music or 3.5 hours or whatever it ended up being. And but then doing the second show with Al Holiday and knowing that we're only going to be putting in an hour, it's like, let's get all the A material together.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. Just
all killer, no filler.
Right? Yeah.
Nothing. So. No question mark songs.
Yes. Yeah.
And everything. Actually, our goal originally was to play like. Only songs that we could use as like a closer. That's how we first started. And then it turned into a closer opener, but everything was like, you know, think about it. You go to see one of your favorite bands and they're playing all their original stuff, but then they do one cover song at the very end and it's a song that everybody knows and loves. And we were like, well, let's only play those encore songs that everybody knows and loves for a set. Let's just do that for an hour and rock their pants off.
did anybody's pants fly off or...
I mean, as far as I know, it's like Tom Jones in there.
you weren't there, so we can just make up any story that we want.
making things up, Cody. Mm-hmm.
These are true stories I made up, okay?
Yeah.
Adam, with the... you guys did that Foxy Lady that night. There's a little bit of video of that on my promo video I cut. But yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anybody play ukulele like that. Like, you know,
it's something that he found out the weekend before that he could do. But why don't you explain what you did there, Adam?
So to amplify my ukulele, I've got this little stick-on kind of pickup. It's like a cheap little thing that most guitarists would never want on their guitar. It seems to work pretty good for me. And so I realized it's pretty much just a microphone, so you can't really hit it too much. It'll make noise over the amp. And so we started using it, tapping it a little bit for percussion, and that's a nice little tip of beat to it. And then I realized that I could turn on distortion in this like really cheap pedal with like too many choices on it, too many options of sounds that don't make them sound that great. Same thing, like, you know, real guitarists were like, that's kind of, you don't want to use that. But if I turn on like some distorted sound, I can sing into that microphone or that pickup on some of my guitar and ukulele and just sing like an amplified solo.
Shred.
Right.
Because I don't have the facility to actually play a shredding ukulele solo.
Yeah.
I mean, I just haven't put anything near that amount of time in there. But I sure have practiced singing guitar solos a lot in my life. So...
Often right here at this table while we're doing puzzles and listening to music, so
it was pretty awesome though when you're sitting there throwing it against the speaker with the reverb and everything, and I was just waiting for you to light it on fire. And
I mean, come to the right show.
Yeah,
it was you know, being a trumpet player mostly in other groups, it's fun to have something electrified in your hands, and you get to act different for sure.
Sure. Now, you guys, you guys been playing these instruments since you were kids, when did like the playing tuba and ukulele come about?
I have been playing tuba since probably like 2009, but it's not my main instrument. My main instrument was trombone.
Was.
Now I'm in high demand on the tuba. I was teaching at private lessons at this school. That's a lot of my income comes from teaching students private lessons. And
what's
and
your social security number?
Don't worry about it. I was the low brass teacher, not just the trombone teacher, but the low brass teacher. So I was like, oh no, I've got to work with these tuba players. And a semester went by, I was like, I should probably learn how to play that instrument that I'm teaching these kids how to play and pretending like I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Said mostly Noah, band director. So yeah.
So that's where it came from. And then I think I maybe before me and Adam even got together, there was a couple jobs with the union, and then Funky Butt Brass Band a couple times. They would do a second line gig, and their sousaphonist Matt Brinkman wouldn't be able to do the gig, so they'd give me a call and do some stuff on the side there.
Yeah.
And as for the ukulele,
I bought a ukulele, I'd say 2006, right around maybe 2005, Christmas time. And I just gotten some Tiny Tim stuff. And people, they only focus on like two tunes of his.
Yeah.
You know, especially Tiptoe Through the Tulips, which is fine. It is what it is. But I think SpongeBob was, you know, got real heavy around like 2000, real popular. And one of the main songs they used to that, like, living in the sunlight, living in the moonlight. And it's like, he had like a full orchestra behind him, and like the bassoons take this little part on the bridge behind his falsetto. I mean, it's like really done well. It's some kick-ass music. If you don't like his voice or something, that's cool. You know, it's all up to you. But I mean, everything, it was very, very professional record. It really spoke to me. And I'm like, shit, I need one of these ukuleles. Because I need to make these sounds. And it's such a nice compact instrument. So like 2006-ish I started, and I didn't do much with it except play it at home for fun for a few years.
Right.
Then I did some open mics.
I remember some of those open mics.
Started having more fun after that.
Yeah.
One of the first things I saw Adam do with the ukulele was playing, I think, like Autumn Leaves at a thing at the gramophone, and he was whistling the melody, and I'm like, oh, that's something special. Yeah. of course, that's definitely played into our sets, his Sophisticated Babies. You know, he'll whistle the like the organ solo on Runaway by Del Shannon, or
hear you say that without starting to whistle it.
That's good. What am I thinking of here? Some of the guitar solos, or
I think there was some whistling in the Beatles song, right?
Definitely whistle on something. I think I whistled on Get Back. I think I whistled on a lot of Beatles tunes in it. Yeah, because I don't want to sing that many guitar solos on the microphone.
Sergeant Pepper's. Did you whistle on that?
If anything, Cody probably took over on that one.
Yeah,
that one's got those cool brass parts that he gets to
play. Played all the French horn part.
That's something I think is fun about this group is, you were saying it earlier, Shane, but like, we'll take these songs, you know, we love very busy songs. So like ELO, Queen, and there's a lot going on because, you know, you got the harmonies and the vocals, but then you also got, you know, Brian May playing a guitar counter melody to whatever's going on. And of course, there's still the chords and the bass line and stuff like that. And we try to get as much of it as we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, we ask ourselves, can we really do this song without having that part represented?
No.
You know, and then that sometimes that decides whether if we even do the song yet or not.
Sure.
We don't want to.
We can bite
do
you in the butt.
Yeah, we make sure we do it justice as much as we can.
Yeah.
And there's probably some of the songs we kind of say no to is the ones that are just like, you know what, we don't do an honest representation. We don't do justice for this song.
Yeah.
We're just
the ones that got away.
Yeah. It's like now we sound like a novelty band. Says the ukulelist.
The ukulelist.
I was gonna ask you guys. So you both of you guys pretty much like full time musicians now. Like, you don't have? Do you guys? Or do you guys still? I mean, Cody mentioned the lessons and things, but still.
We both teach,
yeah,
and in various ways,
right?
But teaching. We both do music full time,
yeah.
Meaning, if we're not playing music, we're teaching it,
right?
You know, it might. Still might be a one-off thing, or might be, you know, I would definitely teach classes. He's got groups that he meets with every week and stuff. And so,
you guys got any crazy stories about first jobs or anything, or any you guys know?
Music-related jobs, or?
Well, I was just saying. I mean, like, I figure we all got some kind of terrible.
You start.
my first job, I started 16 at Schnucks.
Okay.
For, like, I used to, like, you know, when we going through the line, and my mom would get the groceries, and I would always like start just bagging them up, helping out, and I was like, this don't seem too bad. And like
I think I would enjoy bagging groceries actually.
Yeah, like it wasn't that bad. Like, but then like I got the job, and I'm like, oh, this is sucks.
You got the job, buddy. Yeah. You got the job, buddy.
So I, well, they gave me a uniform shirt, of course, and but like I'm pretty tall, and the shirt was not like very long, and they always wanted you to like keep it tucked in, and yeah. Like. And then like, you'd bend over to get more bags, and your tail of your shirt comes out. And then like they come right back through. And they're, hey, tuck your shirt in. And I'm like, just start, you know, getting annoyed.
Do you understand how shirts work?
Right, yeah. It's like, and then, like, you know, I had to go do carts and stuff. And that was, like, the best part is when you go out doing carts because you get away from all the mess for a while because it was just got chaotic. Or, you know, there's always just something going on there.
I can't find where that piece goes. Figure it out. Sorry, we're almost done.
Almost done.
It's coming down to the wire here.
All right.
Yay!
It's a bunch of dragons.
That's
how many? There's two.
One, two, three.
Where's the third
one? I see three heads.
I thought that was a tail.
And some kind of a warlock or something like that is summoning those dragons from a green crystal.
You think he's a warlock?
We should take a picture of this and put it on the page or something.
Oh, the time wasn't anything that impressive.
How much?
No.
Okay, yeah, we're not going
to
say it.
Hey, we don't need to tell them. We're embarrassed. We still need to keep our private matters private. No matter how big we may be.
They can kind of figure out by...
It might be a...
how many minutes of the podcast are we?
Would it be a wizard? If it's with dragons, what is a warlock doing with dragons?
He's summoning them. To do his bidding.
Oh, well, then is a mage? What's the difference between a warlock and a mage?
He's a magic using guy. He's gonna ride those dragons, I hope.
I gotta tell you guys, that's the first puzzle on the podcast. So
get ready for the second.
Cheers! Yes. Cheers to that.
Yes.
Going back to funny first experiences with jobs. I will say, me and Anna both went to school together, and...
you hold this?
Yes, I will hold that.
You got to get the proper lighting here.
Yeah, the lighting was killing it. Go ahead, Cody.
And so we both went to school over at SIUE and graduated from the jazz department, and one of the first experiences I had with Adam, I must have been like a freshman or a sophomore or something like that, but we were playing music in the university center, and for some reason that day...
Oh, that baggie.
You want this baggie right here? Okay, everybody.
We're putting all the puzzles away to start a new puzzle.
So we were playing music in front of this big, like, flat, rectangular area with all these couches that are, you know, around. It's kind of a little lounge area. And for some reason or another, they thought it would also be a good day not only have music, but to have the soccer team play some kind of combination of soccer volleyball at the same time.
Okay.
And so they had the net up, and they're just wildly kicking the ball over in the net, trying to at least. And right. it's like going out of bounds like every other kick. And we're playing music right next to that, so if you can imagine, there's a couple stray balls that headed our way. And I remember Adam getting up on this like ledge that was really close to the area. And a ball was coming to him right in the middle of him playing a trumpet solo. And he puts down his trumpet for a second enough to just spike the ball as hard as he could into the soccer players. And they just start yelling at him while flipping him the bird, you know? And then he started playing like... Dun, 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 solo, you know? It's like just a... completely trolling these people there. Right. it was a ridiculous situation.
Back when you had a troll in real life.
Yeah, back before it was called trolling. Yeah.
Trolling again?
Yeah. And so that was a funny situation.
Yeah.
Cool. I hadn't thought about that in a while.
You remember that?
Totally. I remember hitting the ball and like in my memory, who knows what it was like, but I remember hitting the ball like, just, like some kind of Braveheart yell. I just victorious for some reason.
A funny thing about music is I can relate like a musical situation to like like when I hear music or I hear about the story, I can tell you like some of the songs we play. That's like something about music like links your memory.
Kind of like spatial memory.
You taught me like the melody to a song called Centerpiece, an old blues tune and everything. He's like, you know, I just remember being like, oh, that's all it is right there. Those four bars right there. I'm like, okay. You know, so.
Where I teach you at SWIC?
Huh?
Where I teach you to you at?
At that gig, the thing with all the volleyball players doing the soccer thing, or soccer players doing their volleyball thing. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's a crazy thing to, here we go, puzzle number two.
Coming. Oh my gosh, this one's scary.
2000.
But, yeah, like, for me, like, the same kind of thing, the memory that a song can bring back is crazy. Like, every time I hear, like, STP, I always think of my buddy Dustin Jones, always, like, and stuff like that, or
what STP song? They were big in my childhood. Yeah, I had an awesome poster of them.
Dead and Bloated.
We've been talking about doing that one.
Yeah,
there's not so far that's one that we listened to only. We didn't try to play it yet.
Yeah,
but we're not sure it works for us.
Right.
But man, because he's like, which STP song you want to do? And I'm like, I am smelling like a rose. Yeah. And like, we just like, yes, we both want to do it. That's a killer song. What a great way to open up that album.
But yeah, so like anytime I'm like, you know, cruising in the car or listening to, and that song comes on the radio or something, I always text them. I'm like, because it's the first thing that comes to mind.
Nice sorting, yeah.
Or same thing, like when I hear like Call Me the Breeze from Skynyrd, I always think, imagine my buddy Nick Crawford doing piano solo on my dashboard and you know, doing stuff like that. So
he thinks he's John Candy.
Yeah. but yeah, man, it's fun though. It's like what your memory will kick back and you know, surprise you with sometimes.
Yeah, my mind definitely takes me all over the place more than it should be. And like when I'm teaching, like just all of a sudden, like, oh, that sparks a memory from back then, and I start talking about this. Like, well, now I've wasted about 20 minutes of your time. I'm so sorry about that. Like, when you just said John Candy,
that'll be $80.
Yeah. My mind just went to, sorry, folks, the park's closed. The moose out front should have told you that.
Right. I had a teacher in high school, and he used to, I'm definitely an audio visual learner. So, for music, it would help, you know, like I said, we were just saying about those helping my memory. But he used to like make up these songs, like song parodies with like history facts and things. And like, I remember he did one to like, you know, Beastie Boys, Fight for Your Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what the hit, like now, I forget it now, but like, but at the time, like, when you got to the test, you know, all these, this little goofy song popped in my head, and like, it was very effective at the, you know.
Yes.
Obviously, that was,
the parody song.
Yeah, many years ago.
Study method.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's, I saw Brian Posehn on Conan one night, and,
You can talk about comedians, you're right up Cody's alley.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm listening.
He had one of the best bits about raising his kids and he was saying like how he was trying to figure out how to introduce his kids to Weird Al, and he said, because
how should we tell the kids about Weird Al, honey?
And now you have Adam's attention.
And he said,
no, it's like, when do we tell the kids about sex? do you think you're old enough to know about Weird Al?
Well, he was trying to figure out like if he should teach the kids about the originals, Weird Al first, and you know, and he's like, I figured if he said something about like if he, you know, he didn't want his kid to be like in high school. And then, like, Michael Jackson's Beat It comes on. I'm like, who's this guy ruining Eat It? Right. You know?
Right.
It's like a...
That's a good bit.
Yeah, it was so funny, man. And, like, and that's, like, it's a real thing. I mean, like...
Oh, I learned a bunch of songs through the Weird Al version.
Yeah. Yes.
Like especially when I'm younger. Like, I got that gifted to me in 3D, that album with Beat It, with Eat It on it. And, let's see. So, like, Eat It and Beat It, I already knew. I already wore out Michael Jackson Thriller because I only listened to Beat It when I was a kid, and I probably scratched the hell out of it. But anyway, I knew that one. But, like, They've got a parody of Sting's King of Pain on there.
Yeah.
Called King of Suede. It's about like a Ron Popeil type guy. And like, I had no idea what the song's even about. Weird Al's version. I definitely never heard the Sting version before. They had Ryer the Kaiser on there. I mean, there's a lot of songs that I learned the Weird Al version first.
Right.
I'll tell you what. The entire Stones catalog. He would do polkas on albums, and polkas were always medleys. Usually medleys of like a bunch of the pop hits of the time.
Yeah.
But sometimes he just like, you know, I think it's, I want to say it's a UHF album, but it doesn't really matter. He did like just an entire Rolling Stones polka. So I learned probably, without exaggerating, about 12 Rolling Stones songs in that 3 minutes of the Weird Al polka. And like, you learn the hooks and the melodies and those words. And, you know, next thing is like, you hear somebody going, "If I could stick my hand in my heart, spill it all over the stage." I'm like, I know all the words. It's like I look like I know what's going on, and all I did was listen to Weird Al.
Right.
Weird Al taught me a lot.
Very educational.
Yeah. Have you guys picked up his new album at all? Have you listened to that?
Mandatory Fun?
Yeah.
Cody gave it to me.
It was a birthday present last year, I think. No, it wasn't. It was a... Thank you for taking me out to the Beck concert, I think it was. I'm like, well, he's not going to let me, you know.
Cody's a great gift giver.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a feat in itself for a guy that's been around as long as he has and still successful and relevant. And then he, debuted at like number one on Billboard or something?
I think it was his first number one.
Yeah.
What's also really cool about that is, you know, you talk about like, oh, he's still relevant after all these years, but bands used to kind of gauge their relevance by whether he covered their songs or not. I remember an interview with Dave Grohl is like, whenever he started doing the Nirvana songs, and when Weird Al started covering the Nirvana songs, what was it? Smells like Nirvana was And he's like, oh man, we've made it. Weird Al has covered one of our songs. We've made it.
We still haven't done any Foo Fighters.
We need to find some common ground there.
Yeah.
What Foo Fighters song should we do?
I think Monkey Wrench.
Monkey Wrench would be great. I enjoy that.
Learning to Fly.
That's Big Me.
So how's Learning to Fly go?
Yep, there you go.
That's exactly
how it sounds, man.
Had the video had Tenacious D as guests in the music video.
So. They done a lot. I mean, like Dave plays Satan and
Pick a Destiny.
He plays the drums on the whole first album.
He played drum, and then I think they didn't they do something like Probot or something like it was another
Probot.
Like, it was like a. Some kind
What's
of
a robot.
I don't know. There's some kind of like off little side project thing they did. I think
it's a
together.
Positive robot. A robot.
Oh.
I think I don't know. I might be wrong on it, but
that's what they're gonna become once the robots take over. It's like, how do you know which side they're on? Oh, don't worry, sir. I'm a robot.
That sounds like something a bad robot would say.
Yeah.
You turned my crap joke funny.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Sophisticated babies.
Looks like a Canadian.
He's picking up a piece there. They can't see that on the podcast, but that's cool.
It wasn't for them. It was for you.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
I wrote a couple of things down. I don't know if you... you guys, we're all like the same age, right?
I'll be 34 tomorrow.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Happy birthday!
Early birthday.
Yeah. And I will be 31 in June.
Yeah, I'll be
really just 31.
I'm I'll be 30 in June. So
makes sense.
Cool. Yeah, well, it makes sense. We had a little overlap at school.
You mean from the year you were born in? It makes sense.
Makes sense.
You'll be 31.
I'll be 30.
Surprised you didn't know that.
Yeah,
you'll be 30. Yes. Well, what date in June?
19.
Okay, yeah. June 6th.
Yeah.
D-Day.
I just think because there's been like a lot of
90s-ish things kind of recycling back.
It's time.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Part of me, it makes me happy, but also part of me is, like, kind of nervous and worried about it. So I wrote a couple of things down that I've, they just announced this week they're looking to do Fuller House, bringing back Full House with...
Can Bob Saget ever really come back?
yeah. Well, I don't think it's... I think those guys agreed to do, like, guest appearances or something, but I think it's going to... What I read was, like, the story's going to base around DJ and Kimmy Gibbler. And then
I always liked Kimmy Gibbler.
Yeah.
What's her real name? Andrea something?
Yeah.
Sure.
IMDb. I don't know how but it's going to be on Netflix, I guess.
Andrea Barber or something like that. I'm going to look it up a little bit.
Yeah.
When I said like Bob Saget coming back from what he's done, it's mainly just like his comedy is. Are you familiar with his comedy?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
It's so out, but he was part of this Wholesome Family show on. Yeah. TGIF.
Well, I think he had a joke about like that he's got like basic cable Tourette's now, like from doing funny home videos and everything else.
Uh-huh. He's got basic cable what?
Basic cable Tourette's. Because like now in his act, like all he does is curse and everything.
He was holding it in for such a long time.
I got you.
Remember that? Dave Coulier had a show that was right after America's Funniest Home Videos called America's Funniest People.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was really bad.
he had a show before that on Nickelodeon called Out of Control.
Oh, Lordy.
Which was really good when I was a kid. Me and my sister liked that a lot.
Has it aged well? Have you watched it recently?
I think from Out of Control. Yeah, from Out of Control is where he started the Cut It Out.
Oh, Lordy.
It's been with him for a while.
Yeah.
He's writing that one.
Remember that episode where he fails on Star Search? Yeah, I could have told you that.
But
that's actually used to be one of my favorite people before. Well, when I was a kid,
Saget has a joke in his act that he said. He says that Dave Coulier shaves his balls or something, and then he's like, "Cut it out!" There's an example. Yeah. Did you guys catch that Power Rangers? Reboot thing?
I did not, but have they already taken it down or something? Or
oh, it could have.
There was something like that. Back. Yeah, I did not. I might have just missed the bus, or I was right on the edge of like, do you like Power Rangers or not?
And yeah, I was a little younger.
Yeah, and I think when I was even younger than that, I used to watch Voltron, and so it was like one of the first things I ever noticed. Like, oh, this is just Voltron.
Right.
Yeah, you know, made me angry. He's like, they're just copying Voltron, you know. But
for sure.
But and so then there was like all this loyalty towards the previous show and everything. Yeah. So I didn't really give it a. I think I watched the first episode, but then after that, I was like,
One episode. Yeah. You were that critical with your television watching?
I was in
at the ripe age of
fifth grade or something like
10,
that.
11,
yeah, I was.
I call shenanigans.
I didn't watch it.
I gave it a chance. I watched the pilot.
It's not worth my time.
Decided it wasn't real enough for me.
I'll just stick to Disney Afternoon, thank you.
Darkwing Duck.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. Man. That's
turn over your 20 pieces. I turned all those over.
What? Yeah, you missed a couple.
Well, come on. I was trying to find the edge pieces. This is the testiest we've ever been.
Yes.
What,
eyes when you first start. We have different puzzle starting principles. I always thought we had the same.
I think having the music on the background always mellows out, and now it's like.
Yeah.
don't force choke. Oh, God, you're calling Molly me. Okay. Never mind. That's different from a force choke. Andy, come here hot.
Well, I love Wendy. Dr. Jones.
You call him Dr. Jones.
Yeah. What, did you guys catch that another 90s thing was they when they got the Saved by the Bell reunion on Fallon.
Yes.
Oh, I saw headlines.
Yeah. It was pretty good.
Most things he's done, Jimmy Fallon, meaning he's been pretty creative and funny. I'm
just amazed at how good those people still look. You know, they look so much like they did.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Why wouldn't they look good?
It's been almost.
But come on, like Tiffany Amber Thiessen's not gonna age well.
Right.
True.
Yeah, you know, AC Slater. Mario
Lopez? Yeah.
Mario Lopez didn't change at all.
Right.
Okay. Good for
you. Yeah, those guys, obviously, that was the whole idea of the bit, was the makeup and everything, but their face and everything, they all still look exactly the same.
And, I saw Screech do stand-up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was worth it.
Good. He couldn't be there. He was busy.
He's in jail,
I think he's out now, but yeah. I think he just stabbed somebody around.
It's a bit of a scrapper.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't follow the path like the other ones.
Yeah. I think I heard something like that. Lark Voorhees, she wasn't there also, and I guess.
That's Lisa Turtle?
Yeah. And they were saying she's a bit of a loose cannon, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, Lordy. And they never hooked up on that show. I can't believe it. No, I guess they didn't. Well, did they? Did they ever? I don't think I followed it through to the end. Did Lisa Turtle and Screech ever get together?
I don't think it ever happened.
not hard enough.
We'll have the fans calling in here in a bit.
Yeah.
Tell us your favorite Saved by the Bell.
We're gonna take caller one. You're on.
Yeah. Phones are lighting up. Yeah. So you guys got any dates coming up?
No.
Nothing on the calendar.
We'll get back at the Oyster Bar soon.
Yeah.
Because we just did two quick ones in a row. We didn't even know the second one was coming. So, time for a little regroup. Plus, it's that time of the school year since we both teach. Things get busy, but...
Sure.
Man, when summer comes, I can't wait to play more. It's a very musically satisfying band to be a part of.
Oh, yeah.
It was really cool that the Oyster Bar thought they could use us for, like, we need to fill somebody else with this other half of the show, and they put us together with a... shout out to Hillary Fitz, and they played the first half of the show, and they needed another group to be there and share the time, and we're happy to do it.
So, yeah,
and happy to be called on at late notice, and
sure,
just going and do it. So,
and I guess it's probably. I think anybody can really, but it's probably a little easier with two guys, two instruments, for sound and everything to kind of come in and set up pretty easy and. Compared to a larger band and
absolutely and also like we said before, choosing the songs, all that stuff, it's you don't have to coordinate five or six people to make a date. It's just me and him and can you do it?
Yeah,
and let's do it. So
let's do it.
Let's fall in love.
I was gonna do that same joke. Let's fall in love. So, I guess a fun thing about what we got is there's just such a wide genre of music that we both have put a lot of time into, particularly jazz. You know, Cody's got me, he knows a lot of early traditional style jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes around a lot of these festivals around the country and plays those. But, you know, we both did the classical thing, we both did the jazz thing, we both pay attention to lots of other styles of music, and now we're just playing our favorite songs.
Right.
Yeah. If it weren't for ska music, I wouldn't be in music right now.
Yeah,
that's what got me into playing music in the first place. Like, maybe if I go to school, I can play better in a ska band.
Yeah,
and
we're in a ska band.
Yeah, man, yeah. Ska bands.
I saw you guys at that Real Big Fish show.
Yes,
ska bands. That was a good night.
Real Big Fish and Les and Jake, which were my definitely my. Idols growing up.
I think it's June 4th. They're at outside the Blue Note in Columbia, Missouri.
Oh. Who's that?
Really Fish and Lesson Jake.
Yeah, both of them.
I did see that.
Yeah. Playing outside on the street. So
wow,
should be a pretty cool time.
That's cool.
No, I think that was you guys. Did you guys ever go up there with the Urge at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Aaron and I went a couple summers ago.
All right.
And played a couple times with them.
Yeah. That's
fun.
That
Unify was opening.
Yeah, those are cool shows up there on the outside on the street. Like that's pretty yeah, well
they
done.
They do a good job and definitely got a lot of people there.
Right.
I think they're free too, aren't they?
Yeah.
Just like outdoor, but
yeah.
they put that giant stage up and stuff. Yeah, right. They're doing it right.
Yeah, it's I got a couple of pretty good bands coming. Anyway, it's not a bad little drive for me. Like I live like I said, I live out there, so like it's about halfway to from to Columbia or to St. Louis, so it's, I don't mind running up to Columbia for a good show.
Yeah.
Plus I'll usually stop in at Shakespeare's and grab a pizza, and it's always a fun little adventure.
Yeah, my brother always heads out there for music events. He has a lot of friends out in that area and spend the weekend out there, and there'll be some kind of music thing happening.
Sure.
You know, and so yeah, he's made, I think it's pretty realistic that a lot of people from St. Louis will make the trip out and,
right.
and trip do it. Drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
you can get on this puzzle anytime, Shane.
Yeah, come on.
Shane
hasn't done anything.
A puzzle piece yet.
He's afraid of ruining our record time.
I'm, you know, I honestly couldn't tell you the last time I touched a puzzle, so.
Quick.
Oh, here we go. It's time. Oh, that felt good.
Yes.
But yeah. Let's see. Well, what else is going on, guys? Oh, we got one for you. Sorry not to
please
interrupt.
I was buying time.
We meant to talk about this earlier, but I forgot. But and I was kind of surprised that you didn't have one. But it's National Beer Day. I thought
Bud Light Lime.
Yeah, I thought you might have a Bud Light Lime to be celebrating.
I might do that. There's some in the fridge for sure.
Yeah,
I'll drink some of those that I didn't.
Think about ordering pizza still. Every time I do a puzzle, it's like, especially, you know, over here on evenings, puzzle time, it's like, ah, geez, we should probably get some Vest soda and get a pizza.
Yeah. Some,
yeah. But in a beer
can go with
that as well.
Yeah, like,
what did Big Mike eat on his interview?
What's that?
Aaron said, I didn't listen to the Big Mike one yet.
Oh.
Aaron said he was eating something and it was hilarious. He's like, here, you gotta try the shrimp something or whatever.
We were at Herbie's Vintage 72.
Cool.
And we had the, I'm gonna, it was duck.
Confit?
Yeah. And he was, we tried, like, I tried not to eat it all on the air, obviously, because, but, yeah. The
listeners love that.
Yeah, right. But it was delicious, though, man. Like, it was.
Like Orson Welles.
So, yeah, Mike gave me my first one, and, so that was fun.
Well.
But, yeah, it was quite funny, though.
You do the voodoo shrimp at the Oyster Bar? You done that yet?
You know, I tell you, I still have not to eat at Oyster Bar. Every time I show up there, like, the kitchen's closed on the,
because
I always end up there late at night, and,
well, next time we're both there, I'm going to order some, and you get to try that.
Yeah, I really need to, I want to try all the food. But that's the thing I always, like, I always ask, and like, oh, no, we're just closed up, and I'm like, man, like, every time.
Yeah, because you go to like 3 or 4 shows a night.
I show up like at 1 or 2 or whatever. And, yeah. Well,
what else, Cody? What do you got?
What do I got?
Anything else important to say? Tell the good people.
We love you.
Yeah.
Love you this much.
You can see arms are really, arms.
They're not all the way out, but they're out there. You know. We're working on it.
You were asking about that show we did with Hal Holliday a little while ago.
Yeah.
And I should say, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Cody's going to say, I love you to the people. We had an awesome crowd that night.
That was
a lot of good friends, a lot of
the
strangers.
Best one so far, yeah.
And, you know, you saw our first show, and people were definitely engaged. But, you know, it's something that you can definitely just sit and talk to your buddy still, and, you know, or just sit, you know, watch from your table. You don't.
Yeah.
But, like, we had people dancing and singing along on most songs.
I think
we had our very first babysitter, as we called him. Hal Holliday joined us on piano.
Yeah.
And joined us on a Ben Folds 5 song. And Don't Stop Me Now by Queen, and
we should play a song.
We should play a song. Let's play. How about, is that okay? Is that all right? Can we play a song? Let's do a song.
He told us we could earn. Okay. Oops. They don't know. Just be cool.
I think there was a.
We already played one.
Well, you want to do that song for the? You want to do the Ben Folds one?
Sure.
Be good.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Shane? Sorry.
I was going to say, I think in that video, there's some dancers to ELO telephone line. And yes. That's,
it's a danceable song.
Yeah, you had some dancers going that first night, too. So.
Those were our first dancers.
Yeah.
Not only do we love ELO, but the other reason we played that song is because there's a scene in the movie Billy Madison.
Yeah.
Where Billy Madison realizes...
Is that Mason, though?
Yeah.
Cool.
But he realizes that, like, okay, when I was in high school, I kind of picked on people. Right. And now I'm being picked on. So he decides he's going to call back some of those people and apologize. And he calls Steve Buscemi, who's listening to telephone lines.
Yeah.
On it, and he says, you know, hey, man, I'm really, really sorry. And he accepts his apology. And then he walks up to his board that says, people to kill. And he marks off Billy Madison's name. And so he's glad I'm so glad I called that guy.
And then puts on his red lipstick.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so good. Hey, we should play that song.
I don't know if I can tonight.
Oh, that's fine.
We'll try. We should try. It's always fun to try.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We don't say no in sophisticated babies.
Yeah.
We try first.
Yes. Now or telephone line first? Just after that setup, I think we should do telephone line first, right? Yeah.
Do the whole thing?
Or until you stop playing, buddy.
Well, what do you think? I'm trying to think what I would want to listen to as a listener.
I think this is great.
Yeah?
Alright.
Here we go. Sleeves up.
Sleeves are up.
Business time.
Alright.
This is Adam speaking, and Adam did not whistle very well for a second there, so maybe Shane will cut that out. But even if he doesn't cut it out, I don't want you blaming Cody for any of that.
Okay.
All right, back to it. Don't you realize the thing?
about the first half of Telephone Line. We could, man, we need to learn more Yellow songs together. We could sit and, when we do puzzles sometimes.
Every time.
Off in Yellow's in the background. And like, and I got this, I think it's even over there, it don't matter, but I got this like 9-disc box set. And for cheap on Amazon, like $30 or something. It's ridiculously cheap.
It's one of those bands that, like, I feel like I was finally truly introduced to them last year, last summer, and it was doing puzzles here with Adam, and it's one of those bands. It's kind of not to the extent of the Beatles, but it's like one of those bands. Like when you first find out about them, like, oh, they do that song. Oh, they do that song yeah. too. You know, it's like there's a bunch of hits that you're like, now you finally put a name to the band, and it's like, wow, these guys have like 20 plus hits that are killing.
And he'll write really simple songs, and he'll write songs with a lot of stuff going on. I think, and he's, but I think we both kind of agree. Just he just writes gorgeous melodies.
It's the melody that, yeah. I was trying to say to Adam, like, why do I like this band so much? And he's like, it's the melody, man. You like melodies, and he's right.
When we both, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I truly believe that, like, you know, the melody is what makes a song. You know, I mean, you got to have the good stuff to go with it, but the stuff that goes with it is what makes it how it is.
Right.
Meaning like style-wise and stuff. Because you can change the beat, but that melody's still the same. Mm-hmm. And then we truly pretty much believe that we're playing some of the best songs ever because they're just songs that we both love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, if to somebody else out there hate one of the songs we play, I'm positive of it. I'm sure they do. But, you know, we're playing songs that not just other people seem to think are popular and fun because we're not going to make more money if we play this song or this song.
Right.
You know. And if somebody comes up to me and asks me to play some request that's cliche that I don't enjoy, no, I don't want to do it. Yeah. But if they come up and ask me to play some request that is cliche but I love it, mm-hmm. and we both know it and we want to do it, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So there's... I truly believe that we're playing the best songs ever. Because I'm not being... arrogant when I say that because they're not my songs.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, they're just the songs that I've gravitated to the most and love the most.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And we seem to have a thick common ground of those tunes, or at least bands.
What's the, like, the newest, like, you know, most current song you guys play?
So, we played last Thursday and we had three songs. We had Basket Case by Green Day. Cause and man, I had Green Day everything.
Yeah.
I had like two Green Day posters, Green Day ball cap, keychain.
Yeah,
I was big in that.
I
that
was awesome. I remember Dookie was big.
Well, that's when I got. And then, I was perfect age for Dookie.
Yeah. And then, but I think I really started to appreciate him with Nimrod. For me, that was that album came out when I was in. Actually, it was right in middle school because I remember like. And obviously, it was a massive hit with that Good Riddance. But that was like our eighth grade graduation song or whatever.
Every single montage has.
Right.
I don't ever see us doing that song.
I loved Hitching a Ride and King for a Day. And
so you're on a bunch of songs. I kind of left them after Insomniac.
Yeah.
I was super, super big in those, you know. 12 years to 15 years old.
All right.
But then I just went other directions.
I went a little further and did a Warning. Warning and I Want to Be the Minority and all that stuff. Like, you know, those are, I still enjoyed those. I'm not sure if those were accepted as much as the earlier ones, but I still enjoy them.
Yeah. There's some bands that we both love. And Green Day seems to be a good example. Red Hot Chili Peppers is a great example. It's like, I really liked, you know, the Blood Sugar Sex Magik album. And then we both loved the band. And Corey really liked
Californication. One of my favorites, yeah.
And so it was nice to have this kind of overlap of like... Because, I mean, everything they did is pretty much great. I mean, all these bands went through periods of goodness and worseness. But for the most part, it's just like, if I like this album, I'll probably like the other one. So
did, I pulled it up the other day. We were... me and my wife were cruising, listening to the... I guess it was 2000s on Sirius XM, and that Crazy Town Butterfly song came on.
Oh yeah,
and you guys remember that one? Yeah, right.
You're my butterfly, sugar.
Yeah.
Oh,
Come on, lady, come my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby.
They were kind of like that rap rock thing, Linkin Park-ish. And,
okay.
Yeah. But that song, the melody of that is from Pretty Little Ditty on Blood, Sex, Sugar, Magic. Like it's that
Pretty Little Ditty.
Yeah, it's like an instrumental track they did on there. It's like three different instrumentals. But if you go back and you like it, so it's just crazy that riff or whatever came from, you know, what, 1989 was it?
Yeah.
That album. Anyway, it's just kind of
is that old? No, probably not anymore.
Something like that or whatever it is.
Probably like 90. Yeah, it probably was around 89. Jesus.
Yeah.
But it's just weird that that's like, you know, not a lot of people talk about that one, but obviously you get a lot of, you know, Vanilla Ice and Queen and, you know, these other kind of rips and stuff like where... Yeah,
for sure.
Where, I mean, it's a... Obviously, it was one of my favorite quotes with Vanilla Ice is that, you know, yeah, theirs goes... And mine goes... No.
Okay,
there's
a little in there.
Yeah. But anyway, so I just you have to go back and listen to pull that up on YouTube or something and check it out. But I just find it interesting that, you know, that one's kind of gone under the radar, like the of all the, you know, especially now, like currently you got everybody saying that like Sam Smith ripped Tom Petty.
Jeff Lynne and Tom Petty,
yeah.
But it's not always a wrong thing. Right. Just because I write something that's, you know, maybe it's exactly the same as one of my heroes did, so I'm sure I got it from them. But I mean, if you give them credit or you pay them for whatever, sure. I mean,
well, Tom Petty won a Grammy now, so
yeah.
So you got,
I didn't look into that one very much, but it seemed very cordial.
Yeah,
that one was actually really, really cool. Tom Petty or Jeff Lynne, again, leader of the Electric Light Orchestra.
Pretty much is.
He is Electric Light Orchestra, but he's...
We got to check tour dates again.
Huh? Yes. He might be doing a tour with Electric Light Orchestra...
This summer.
Okay, yeah. And if that happens, we're definitely going to check it out, regardless of when he comes in. But yeah, there was a lot of, like, you know, it's okay, Sam, you know, like, these things happen, you know, there's no bad blood here, you know, so that it was the best way that could have...
Yeah, I mean, and that one, like, they said, like, you know, you got to, like, tune down, the Tom Petty track or whatever, I don't know. You got to, like,
won't back down.
You got to slow it down and pitch down, and then I was like, anyway, stuff like that. It was just kind of...
It's really hard. It seems... It's hard to do anything these days without being influenced
by someone of the past. Yeah, now you got to...
You got it.
The other one? Robin Thicke and Pharrell with Blurred Lines, and they got
the Marvin Gaye song.
Yeah, which I mean, those are, you know, very, you know, obviously you can hear it, but it's like, where's the line where, you know, like I said,
it's more the groove than anything, and that's where it's like kind of a little nutty because, you know, there's so many styles that, like, where everybody sounded the exact same. Like, well, where you draw the line? But
I saw something like one of those BuzzFeeds or whatever, one of those kind of things, and it said, like, you know, they got Bruno Mars, Uptown Funk, and they were saying there was like 8 artists that could like sue him for that song because there's so many things like that are you know, kind of rips of older songs and stuff like Prince and.
There's similarities to his heroes, but
that's the thing. Like, I mean, like, you know, I guess it's all in who wants to pursue the legal, you know, thing. But
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah,
I'm not definitely not calling myself like a, you know, a good original tune writer. But like a lot of what I try to write, even when I was like one of the other things I do as part of my career is writing music for different ensembles, varying from big band to, you know, smaller groups, and a lot of the stuff that I'd write that would just be my arrangement would be based off some other successful chart or something like that, and so when we were listening to Electric Light Orchestra so much last year, we, you know, I was like, I think I could maybe write a melody that sounds like an ELO song, and then we got together and wrote some lyrics to it. We haven't
we keep talking about like how it's gonna be really fun recording that. We haven't gotten around to it.
We're gonna record it this summer.
Yeah. All right. So look for that one.
Yeah.
It's called He Didn't Let Go.
Yeah, He Didn't Let Go. Yes.
That's my biggest thing of like why I mean I would it's kinda like a bucket list item for me to like write a song and like have it like
recorded
or something.
It's not as big of a obstacle or challenge to do as parts of you might think. I mean, you can do that tomorrow.
Yeah, I realize
you can
that.
Come over here and record.
But my problem is like I listen to so much music, so like when I sit down to like think of like trying to write something, all I start writing is all these lyrics that are from other songs and stuff, and it's like so it's hard for me, you know, because I am influenced by so much. Yeah, to find that original.
Use the Finding Forrester technique. Yeah. So in the movie Finding Forrester, Sean Connery's like a writing, he's an author, and he helps this young kid like write better. And so one of the things he has him do is he says, copy the first paragraph of this article word for word and then go wherever you go from there. And so he uses his, you know, somebody else's material as a jumping off point to get where he wants to. And
all right.
I've done that with songs before. It's like, you know, take a song that you love and write a fourth verse to it.
Yeah.
And then you can... After you write that fourth verse, you can always change it enough melody-wise or syllables. Now you've got something to work with.
Yeah.
And then it's important to remember that creating a song is no different than creating something out of Legos or creating a meal or from a recipe or something like that. And so reference songs, kind of where we're talking about like the legal stuff and stuff.
Right.
Just like, I mean, those are recipes. You want to make a Chuck Berry tune? Cool. Well, I need these ingredients. Yeah. I need to make it work like this. You want a little richer tune? Well, that's pretty much the same thing, except it's got heavier piano on it and more saxophones.
Right.
And, you know, the vocals are different and stuff like that. But it's, you know, everything can work from plans and recipes just from what we already know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you can write a song, you know, basically it's easier to write a song or do something like that if you make some decisions. It's hard when you do what you said, where, like, I like all this, you know, varied different styles of music, and I know you do. I know you go to so many different things. And so instead of thinking about it like that, go like, all right, well, what do I want to make? Do I want to make a heartbreak song? Do I want to make... All right, then you choose the topic. I want to make a heartbreak song.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of heartbreak song you want to do? You want to do like a 1970s country heartbreak song? You want to do a Otis Redding style song? You want to, you know, pick one.
Yeah.
And just go from there. But it's all just like making decisions helps at first. Like Cody, he's like, I've been soaking up all this ELO lately. I want to write something that reflects the CLO stuff. All
right.
Just like if I've been watching, you know, all the, I don't know, pick your favorite Food Show Network guy. But, like, it's not Bobby Flay, but we'll use him as an example. But let's just be clear here that nobody's favorite Food Network person is Bobby Flay here.
Who's right? That?
Yeah, exactly. Who's Bobby Flay? Anyway, so, like, say I was watching a bunch of Bobby Flay. Well, then I'm going to start making more Tex-Mex type stuff. Yeah. And Southwestern stuff. That's what he does. He makes whatever he wants, but he does it with his style, which is always that. So...
Yeah.
So yeah. You want me to Bobby Flay this recipe for you? My name's Bobby Flay. I'm not very nice. Hey, now we're going to play a song for the dumped.
All right.
And we're going to dedicate this. No, we shouldn't dedicate this to Bobby Flay. I don't know him personally. I don't...
Could be a nice guy.
He could be.
I don't know who it is.
Well, we'll dedicate this to somebody else. We'll dedicate this to anybody who feels dumped right now. And then you hear the background noise from the talking, and then you hear a...
And don't forget
Came to mind when you're doing that, like Rock in the Suburbs is another one, and then
I think Weird Al directed that video.
It's a cover he does, that Snoop Dogg one. Bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks.
Aaron knows that one.
Where's Aaron?
Yeah.
Get him on the phone. Phone
it's,
a friend.
It's filthy.
What's that? I can't think of the guy he does it with, but yeah, Ben Folds does that Snoop Dogg cover. And
I hope he did it when he played with the SLSO.
Yeah. That happened? That'd be something to see.
I doubt that song happened. But yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, he played with them recently. Awesome. He's done it a couple times.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Well, you guys want to wrap this up? People can find you guys on your Facebook page and... Yep. What you said, Reverb Nation?
We have a Reverb Nation page. We started off doing a lot of stuff recording down in Adam's basement, and a lot of those projects are still there. We haven't recorded, added to it since last Acoustic August.
Yeah.
Because all of our efforts have been towards doing the live show right now. But we've been talking about it. We're going to get back to recording. So yeah, we have a Reverb Nation link that's on our Facebook page. So you can find that there.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure we'll be at the Oyster Bar sometime soon.
Right.
No matter what day you're listening to this, I'm sure we'll be at the Oyster Bar sometime soon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Seems to be home away from home.
Sure.
Yes.
And
very, very fortunate to be working with those guys out there.
Yeah. Enjoy that.
Yeah, yes. Great place. Mm-hmm. If you're listening and ever been to Oyster Bar, go down and check out
remodeling and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're adding on to it.
So, I'm excited. Mm-hmm. To see what happens with the new expansion.
Shane, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks guys. Thanks for hanging out.
This is really exciting. And it was your partner's birthday?
Yeah, today was Chris's birthday. I gave him the day off.
Happy birthday, Chris.
Yeah, he's at the Blues game with his wife. So he's in, that's where he's having a good time tonight with that. So,
the playoffs started yet? When does that happen?
I don't think so. I think they're getting there.
I don't think they started yet.
Yeah, I'm not much on hockey, so I he He's the resident hockey expert on the show. So
I know a lot about sports.
He doesn't know a lot about sports.
Actually, I know a lot about sports.
My only knowledge about hockey is that there was a guy, the towel guy. Is the towel guy still around? I think he is. He's just up there. He swings the towel around whenever the Blues score.
I met his daughter.
Oh, yeah?
I met his daughter at a wedding gig at the MAC.
Is that how she introduced herself? She's like, I'm the towel guy's daughter?
No, but we got to eventually. I think she's a photographer.
Oh, cool.
She's cute.
Towel guy.
All right. Well,
I got a picture taken with her.
He had a little towel girl.
All right, guys. Episode 60, Sophisticated Babies.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
That's a wrap.
Thank you. Episode 60.